Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show on 101.9 Chai FM. This is the DL Link show, and this is a show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. I do hope that you are having a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. And, you know, I was just thinking this morning when I woke up and I was on my way then to gym, just thinking about this doing and rushing and keeping ourselves distracted and busy. And I really hope that you get time to just tune out of everything else and tune into what we're covering today. And even if it's not for the full hour and you get to listen to part of the podcast from tomorrow, I just hope that you are able to carve out times during the day. I like to call them recovery loops. And we just have that opportunity to take the time out and just to relax. So that's why we get to bring you really interesting guests. We bring you inspiring stories. And the first story that we're going to be covering in today's show is really a continuation of something that we have covered before. I remember when we did discuss it before, it was most concerning, and it's even more concerning to see that nothing has really changed in terms of the Gauteng Health Department and an amount of like 250 million rand, which was earmarked for cancer treatments, and it had to be returned to Treasury. And in the interim, how many cancer patients have developed, their cancer has metastasized, how often for them it has been a process of, you know, trying to maintain their health, and many lives have been lost. And so this is a serious conversation that we're having. I know that Jack Bloom, MPL, is the DA Gauteng Shadow MEC for Health, who is joining us just to update us. Let's see what's been happening. So Jack, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
So, you know, Jack, as I said, you know, we have covered this before, and it was disconcerting, you know, when we did it before, knowing that 2,000 patients, there was this backlog. Perhaps for listeners who don't know, you can just give us a brief summary or outline of what's been happening with regards to this money that was earmarked for cancer treatment and didn't get to these patients.
Well, the total amount that Treasury allocated was 784 million rand over 3 years. We're now in the third year, but the first year of treatment, which should have been paid for by the 250 million rand, nothing happened in that first year, and the money was returned to Treasury. They lost it. Now, in the second year, which was the financial year that ended at the end of March this year, they were supposed to spend 261 million rand, and they didn't fully spend that either. So there is an amount, I haven't got a truly accurate amount, but a substantial amount that wasn't spent. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be rolled over or lost to Treasury as well. So there is a fair amount still left there. But the problem is, you know, it's the suffering, the lives that could have been saved but won't be saved now, because radiation treatment after surgery or chemotherapy really has to be done within at least 90 days if it's going to be effective. So the so-called backlog list of between 2,000 and 3,000 patients, that changes all the time. You know, people are going to fall off that list because they've missed the 90-day window of opportunity. And I think this matter has just been botched terribly by the department. It's not like they normally say, oh, we don't have enough money, so that's why we couldn't do it. Well, they did have enough money. They didn't pay it. And they didn't spend it. And what the idea was that they should have contracted private hospitals, which they have now done, so they say. But I mean, very late in the day. I mean, it took them two years nearly to actually contract with private hospitals. They should have done this right from the start. So I mean, you can, you know, Is this just pure inefficiency? Is there some sort of corruption involved? Because one always expects that with the Gauteng Health Department. At the end of the day, there are hundreds at least of patients that didn't get the radiation treatment in time. And just think of the suffering and involved. You know, that's the tragedy of it. Of course, civil society groups like Section 27 and Treatment Action Campaign and Cancer Alliance took the Gauteng Health Department to court. Now, this should never have happened. I mean, the department should have been working with NGOs, excellent NGOs, to work together with them. I'm sure they could have sorted this out long ago. But no, it ended up in court. It reminds me of life of Sedimeni, you know, and I think more lives have been lost than in life of Sedimeni, because 144 mental health patients, you'll recall, they were sent to, you know, illegal NGOs. Well, yeah, if you sort of look at the figures, I think it's hundreds. I think it's a bigger disaster, to be honest. And now the court case, there was a scathing judgment earlier this year where the judge says that the Gauteng Health Department's actions were, quote, unconstitutional and, not legal, basically. So, I mean, that's a devastating indictment. And what does the department do? They take it on appeal. You know, they should actually just work together with very good organizations. And if we work together, we can make an impact on this terrible backlog. Instead, it's still stuck in court. And I really feel for cancer patients who have lost out. And of course, the premier of this province, I asked him a few weeks ago, I said, this 250 million rand was lost and it's gone to court and now you're appealing it. What do you have to say? And he said he apologizes. Now, what is he actually apologizing for? And does that make things better? It doesn't. By apologizing, he's admitting they made a mistake. But then he goes ahead and says, oh, no, the department's got a big plan and they're going to sort it out. Well, I'm sorry. You know, what should have been done should have been done long ago, and it's not just a sorry that's required. I don't know what one can do, but restitution. So I think a lot of cancer patients felt that this was a meaningless apology, and the fact is that they're appealing this court judgment. That if he apologizes, said we're going to work with cancer NGOs and we'll do our very best and we made a mistake, but we're going to try and make it up, but he didn't. And I think that's the problem.
Thanks, Jack. And I know I'm hoping that we're going to have one of the cancer patients join us who I know she wrote a letter to Premier Lusufi. And just going back, I mean, this idea of underspending is incredibly, incredibly worrying. I don't understand how a Department of Health underspends and returns money when there is such a great need. So just looking at this court case which took place and the ruling on the 27th of March, I mean, you're talking about, saying that the department was seen as unconstitutional, that they are appealing this, but that, it went out to social media to ask people how they felt about it. And the response on social media was really overwhelmingly negative. And there was a poll on X, and apparently 77% rejected the apology outright because, as you say, so many lives were lost. 20% would only accept it if heads rolled, and a mere 3% accepted the apology. And we can sit and talk about apologies, accepting apologies. What is the point of the department, do you think, of health going and appealing this ruling? What on earth is the point? And again, the time, the money, why?
Well, exactly. So the Premier said in his reply to me in the House that he couldn't give the basis for their appeal. I said it was sub judice and all that. So, I mean, this is all shrouded in secrecy. And there's just no need for this. If the department had worked with Cancer Alliance and Section 27 and Treatment Action Group, I mean, these groups know what they're doing. And they've been terribly dissatisfied. They went to court actually as an act of desperation, you know, to try and get something concrete out of the department. And I think obviously they would have been justified. You know, the judge's ruling was devastating. Now, in a normal democracy, the politician concerned would resign in shame or be dismissed, but that doesn't happen in our political system. I mean, the DA has been calling for the MEC to be fired for a long time. This is just one of many disasters that she presides over, and the head of department, because I think they're both complicit in this spending. It's just incredible that the money was there, and that's not normally the case with public hospitals. There was the budget. All you had to do was tie up a speedy deal with the private health sector, like they've done in the Western Cape, because there are models to how you can do this. I mean, there are some complications, but the lives are at stake. So smooth out all the wrinkles. Make sure that with the money you've got, you spend it effectively, and save lives. And of course, that didn't happen. So now, as I said, the 250 million rand should have been spent 2 years ago. Not a penny was spent. It's lost. And the department is now saying they've got a plan and they're going to, you know, reduce the backlog. But you know, it's a different backlog all the time, because patients fall off. So the lives that could have been years ago, you know, those very patients, if they're still alive, are certainly suffering, and their quality of life could have been so much better. And I think that's actually the real tragedy of it, I have to say.
Oh, it's shocking. Honestly, as I said, I mean, we're waiting for Tato to join us. And I mean, just that story is horrific, because all of, you know, there's been spreading. And now, because I know that it was for radiation, and our radiation isn't even an option because the cancer has metastasized. And I'm wondering, I mean, that original 2,000 patients, the original backlog, what it's sitting at now. Do you have any idea, Jack?
Well, that's exactly what the court ordered the department to provide. I think they gave them 45 working days, and I estimated next week they're supposed to provide it. Now, they've appealed the judge, but I think that this is an interim ruling. So how is it that so many years down the line, we're still waiting for an accurate list? The Cancer Alliance has been asking for this list for some time. They made their own estimate, but, you know, it does change all the time because, you know, cancers progress. So hopefully next week the department complies with the interim order and we get more clarity. But it shouldn't need a court order to surprise this information out of the department. It's just, I don't know, you know, one has to despair sometimes when you see how people's quality of life could have been dramatically improved with the timely radiation treatment. And obviously it wasn't done at the time for many patients who could have done most effect. So yes, the department will tell you they're buying new radiation machines, and they do have signed contracts with private hospitals, but those contracts should have been signed 2 years ago. That's the tragedy of it. So I think there's more aspects of this scandal, because that is what it is, that are still going to come to light. And let's see if the department adheres to the court deadline next week and provides more information. You know, the problem with the court cases is they drag on for a long time. And this is a life for Sedimeni disaster. I said that to the Premier, and he said, no, he doesn't like comparisons. But I'm sure he doesn't like the comparison, because it's actually accurate. And in many respects, it's worse. You know, in life for Sedimeni, they said, no, we didn't have money, and that's why we had to discharge them from the life of Sedimeni and send them to these terrible NGOs. But now they did have the money, they just didn't manage to spend it, which is just incomprehensible.
It is incomprehensible. And again, you know, Jack, I mean, I suppose numbers do talk. You know, when we talk about what is the number, and the judge wanted to know what the number was in terms of the wait list. And I mean, would you be able to look at how many, would you be able to get an accurate number, how many patients have lost their lives because of the negligence of the Gauteng Health Department? Could you do that? And don't you think that's important?
Well, I asked that question. You know, as a member of the legislature, you can ask questions for written reply and questions for oral reply. You know, this sort of reply needs a lot of detail, so I asked it for written reply, and they gave me a very vague answer. You know, the list changes all the time, and they can't work it out. And I mean, you can just work it out logically. I said in my reply to the Premier, I said, you can do the arithmetic. If there were something like, I would say, about 2,500 patients, mostly at the Sharp and Clarke Johannesburg Hospital, Beaker Hospital patients, the backlogs are much shorter. You know, Sharp and Clarke has never recovered from the terrible fire there, and that's where a lot of the backlog came from. Yes, I've asked that question, and they gave a vague reply, and I suppose they can get away with it in the Gauteng legislature, but I don't think they'll get away with it when the judge asks for this information. So I think it's a developing story. Yeah. I hope they don't try and argue that the fact that they've appealed means they don't have to adhere to the interim measures. I have spoken to Cancer Alliance, and their legal opinion is that the interim measure still applies, and that they have to provide this information. So hopefully they do comply. As I said, I expect it by next week, and we'll have more clarity. But, you know, it shouldn't be a matter that goes to court. It should be a matter that is settled cooperatively and efficiently and in the interests of the patients. Mm. Isn't that what it's all about?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had Section 27 and Cancer Alliance on the show a number of times, and as I said, we've discussed this, and as you've stipulated, the relationship between these NGOs and the health department is so critical. Do you think that this has damaged that relationship? Well, I mean, obviously, you know, taking the health department to court, but do you think there could be a way forward where they could you know, mend this rift if things do start to come together and work together? What do you think, Jack?
Well, that's where I think the Premier should have come in. He should have bashed heads or removed them, actually. That's what the DA has been calling for. And he missed his moment because, you know, I've been running a cancel scandal tracker. You know, how many days, and the Premier said nothing about, you know, this matter since the court judgment. And, you know, by now, I think it's sort of well over 60 days. Well, the only time that he actually did respond was when he was forced to in the Gauteng legislature. Asked a question or a reply. And what he did, his apology, which I think is a very thin apology. And then he said, no, well, I'm happy with the plan that has come up by the department. So, and he admitted that the relationship of trust with civil society wasn't there. But, I mean, it's no use admitting. It's no use apologising without doing something effective. Look, I think there's political reasons. He can't dismiss his MEC for Health. I think she's a powerful political figure in the ruling party, and the head of department, I think, is also protected for various reasons. So this needs leadership, yeah. And the Premier could have shown leadership, and he hasn't. And, you know, we had another Premier called David Mukura who didn't show leadership with Lifa Sedimeni. What happened then is that came to earth, that there was light that there were deaths, as when I asked the former health MEC, Madani Mahlangu, you know, had there been deaths. And that's the only reason the public knew, because I asked the question and she was forced to answer. That's so she said there were 36 deaths, you know, ultimately it was 144. Now, I thought that Premier Mukura should have fired her then and then, but we had to wait for a whole commission of inquiry, which took 3 or 4 months, and then finally she actually resigned. I'm sure she was pushed. But this is the problem with our political culture in South Africa, is that there's no accountability. You know, overseas people would resign over, you know, things not nearly as serious as this, and a premier who presided over this sort of scandal would change the personnel involved. But Premier Lesufi had his opportunity and he missed it, and there are, you know, hundreds and thousands of cancer patients there are paying the price, and do not accept his apology.
Yeah, so we've seen. So, Jack, thank you so much. We're going to be chatting in a moment with Tatu and hear from her. So we appreciate everything that you're doing, and we hope that, as you said, is a developing story, and you should be getting that feedback, and we hope that we will be updated. Really important to update our listeners. So thank you so much for coming onto the show. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Take care, Jack. Thank you. Bye-bye. Jack Bloom, the DA Gauteng Shadow MEC for Health. Really, absolutely horrific. I remember my blood boiling when we covered it last, and I don't know about you, but the blood is boiling again. It is inconceivable that money for treatment was not used, that people have lost their lives, that people have lost quality of life.